Chapter 32, A Balanced Healing Program. Please review Chapter 35, A Balanced Healing Program in Healing Power Revised, pages 481 to 488. Following is a review of the principles from this chapter with a few additional points to remember. This work describes 15 methods that help us manage the inevitable suffering of life and our reaction to it. These are the problems we can turn to when doctors and other healthcare professionals cannot solve the problem. The methods are 3 on the horizontal axis and 12 on the vertical axis. Horizontal axis or external work. The 3 methods are people, activities, and belief system. Vertical axis or internal work methods include affirmations, habit transformation, progressive muscle relaxation, breathwork, contemplation, meditation, prayer, mindfulness, practicing the presence of God, service, yoga, and the transformation of emotion. These methods are described in detail in Healing Power Revised and elaborated on in this workbook. Following is a brief review of the 15 methods. Remember, these methods work no matter the size, shape, or complexity of your problem. For chronic severe problems, we will need to practice these methods in a variety of combinations for years. Horizontal axis, external work. Method number 1, people. When we are in pain, we instinctively turn to trustworthy loved ones, friends, family, or counselors. We tell our story seeking understanding, validation, comfort, and relief. We have a deep inherent need to give and receive love, compassion, understanding, patience, kindness, and humor. These qualities are the healers and pain managers. The idea is to have the best possible network of like-minded, warm, wise, and compassionate people. The right people, at the right time, at the right dose. Find a support network of like-minded people. Tell your pain story to a counselor, mentor, sponsor, trusted family member, or friend. Be understood, validated, and supported. Give and receive love. Spiritualize your relationships. Do you have enough support? Who is in your life that you can really talk to? Do you spend too much time with people? Are you codependent? Is your people dose too high or too low? Method number 2, activities. Constructive, meaningful activities contribute mightily to pain management and healing. We need a variety of such activities: school, training, volunteering, work, hobbies, culture, exercise, martial arts, sports, the internet, TV, radio, music, culture, reading, the arts, and more. We can spend too much or not enough time in activities. What is your day like? Do you have enough to do? Is your activity dose too high or too low? Method number 3, belief system. It doesn't matter whether your belief system is secular, spiritual, fixed, or open, as long as it gives meaning, purpose, and positive thought. We need a strong, healthy belief system rooted in love qualities expressed as service to humanity. This is monumentally important for pain management and healing. How do you understand the meaning and purpose of your life? Do you have a way to understand the things that happen? Do you have a spiritual program or philosophy of life? Do you get support and wisdom from church, synagogue, mosque, a 12-step program, DBT or dialectic behavioral therapy, or other healing ceremonies? Do you have a service project that helps other people and benefits your community? Those are the three methods on the horizontal axis. Many people make the mistake of trying to solve all of their problems on the horizontal axis of people, activities, and belief systems. But some problems can only be resolved by doing some inner work. When you've done everything you can in the world of people, activities, and belief system, and you're still in pain, there are 12 additional methods you can use to help you with your painful problem. Methods 4 through 15 describe the work we can do internally. These are the methods of the vertical axis. When we learn how to balance external and internal practices, we become more skillful pain managers, healing qualities expand, we evolve at maximum speed. Vertical axis, internal work, method number 4, affirmations. The mind has great power to do harm or good. The science of healing affirmations teaches us how to apply the inherent power of thought for healing and pain management. Thoughts impact disease and healing. Practice affirmations for healing body, mind, and soul. Fill your brain with powerful positive thoughts and wisdom pearls. Keep your mind locked in affirmations rooted in the healing qualities. Let healing qualities be your guide during good and difficult times. Method number 5, habit transformation. All of us have a mix of good and bad habits. For full recovery and deep healing, we must release the energy captured by bad habits and transfer this power to new good habits. Cultivate the habits of a seeker, the 15 methods, and cultivate the habits of a sage, 100 healing qualities. Method number 6, breath work. Breath is always available. We can use it to get centered and calm. Breath work helps dissolve painful emotions, curb addiction and craving, and convert mental restlessness to peace of mind. Practice any one or a combination of breathing techniques. Method number 7, progressive muscle relaxation. Progressive muscle relaxation calms the body and the mind through tensing and relaxing the muscles. In addition, when the body and mind are relaxed, it's easier to practice other methods such as contemplation, meditation, and mindfulness. Progressive muscle relaxation helps reduce stress, anxiety, fear, panic, depression, insomnia, and fatigue. You might also do a body scan. Number 8, contemplation. We do not need a higher power or religion to practice contemplation. All we need is some quiet time and our favorite wisdom. The wisdom can come from any source, secular or spiritual. Learn how to crack open the shell of a wisdom pearl to release its hidden secrets and soothing healing powers. Learn how to fill your brain with wisdom and how to sit with a saint. Convert such great qualities as compassion or any other healing quality or idea from the surface superficiality of mere words to feeling, experience, and action. Method number 9, meditation. Right now, there's a place inside of us that is absolutely still and serene, but our mental restlessness bars us from entering. Meditation is the solution to this problem. When we learn how to meditate, we learn how to slow down the mind, replace negative with positive thought, and eventually get into the room of stillness. The experience of peace in the room of stillness surpasses understanding. Here you will find unfathomable beauty, joy, compassion, light, energy, power, elation, and ecstasy. In meditation, there is a transformation from negative to positive, to stillness, to higher consciousness, to infinity. Learn how to meditate. Experience deep healing in the room of stillness. This doctor charges no fee. Number 10, prayer. Ask for help from your higher power. Ask for courage, strength, humility, acceptance, forgiveness, perseverance, self-control, transcendence, wisdom, and more. Method number 11, mindfulness. Mindfulness is paying attention in the here and now to one moment at a time. Here you will learn how to stay in the present and ride the pain waves just as they are without adding unnecessary reactivity. This technique has 4 steps: stop, breathe, present moment, and reframe. The reframe is to the witness, warrior, service, school, entertainment, or ritual, or create your own. When we rotate these frames, life becomes one continuous sacred ritual, offering up its knowledge and lessons, entertainment and joy, and opportunities to love and serve. Method number 12, practicing the presence of God. This is the same as mindfulness for those who have a personal relationship with God. Practice the presence of God as peace, courage, strength, perseverance, compassion, love, understanding, or any one of the qualities that you need at the moment. Method number 13, service. In service to humanity, we discover who we really are and what really helps. We come to know love as the power that heals the self first and then others. As we change ourselves, we change the world. The healing power of love is a magnet that draws to itself all good things. It is not what you do, but how you do it. Add love to every action. The way is small acts of gentle, humble service without attachment to outcomes. When we help others, we help ourselves. Healing power grows. We evolve. Method number 14, yoga. Yoga is union of the soul with spirit through love, bhakti yoga, service, karma yoga, wisdom, jnana yoga, stillness, raja yoga. We can know God or Brahma through love, service, meditation, and wisdom, but not until we reduce the restlessness and excesses of the body, mind, emotions, desires, and ego by practicing one or a combination of these 4 yogas. The science of yoga teaches us to still the waves of mental restlessness, excessive material desire, and emotional reactivity in both meditation and activity. Practice love, service, wisdom, and stillness. And finally, the last method, number 15, transformation of emotion. Emotions are a rich source of information. If we're able to experience sadness or anger without excessive use of alcohol, drugs, food, gambling, sex, or violence, we may discover why we are experiencing these feelings in the first place. Painful emotions are a part of the normal, natural, intelligent healing process. When we learn how to process emotion into self-knowledge, we gain strength and peace. Emotions tell a story with lessons having to do with the cultivation of healing qualities. When we finish the story, it will stop coming up. Learn how to let the pain story unfold and then spiritualize the story, which is infusing that pain story with healing qualities. Locus of control. If you spend most of your time in methods 1 through 3, your locus of control is primarily outside. Most of us start here. When life presents overwhelming problems, it is often necessary to do some inner work. As you begin to practice methods 4 through 15, healing qualities such as courage, peace, and strength slowly grow. As the qualities grow, your locus of control gradually shifts to your inner self. You become less dependent on the outer world of people, activities, events, and material things when you find inner peace, security, and contentment. At mastery, when your locus of control is deeply rooted inside, you will be even-minded under all conditions. For most of us, even-minded under all conditions is an affirmation, not a reality. On the way there, we can have fun with the challenge. Following are some exercises designed to help you create an individualized, balanced healing program. Exercises. Number 1, the keys to skillful pain management. When we do all the right things and it still hurts, it may be helpful to remember some key points. Please review Chapter 13, Roll the Universal Healing Wheel, on page 97 in this workbook. Here you will find key principles and exercises designed to help manage any pain or problem skillfully. These dynamics apply no matter the size or shape of your problem. We need to understand and practice these principles even more when confronted with our biggest problems. The topics covered in that chapter are: roll the wheel, hold PMQ in the same space, 4 stages of growth, what to do when pain does not go away, embracing the gap, getting comfortable with the uncomfortable, finding your power in the story, riding the pain wave, a mindfulness exercise called 2 doors, learning to trust the process, deep suffering and deep healing, how far are you prepared to go, starting slow and building to 1 continuous sacred ritual, how to manage a backslide, the difference between physical and spiritual healing. There's an exercise called Pain and Healing, a Marriage of Wisdom. Another exercise called Saints Are Skillful Pain Managers. And finally, a Palette of Colors. Exercise number 2. Balance horizontal and vertical axis options. Horizontal axis, action and distraction. We always want to get rid of pain in the easiest possible way, usually by engaging our family, friends, work, sports, hobbies, entertainment, nature, and possessions. This is good. Action and distraction in the outer world of people, activities, events, and things have their time and place. It works. Our pain is contained, reduced, or eliminated. Often, however, this is not enough, doesn't work, or make things worse. Vertical axis, sitting with the pain and going in. Sometimes we need to sit with the pain as the teacher and stimulant for the growth of healing qualities. When we do this, the pain may get worse before it gets better. This is hard to accept and even harder to do, but the reward is great. When we practice transformation of emotion, affirmations, prayer, meditation, contemplation, and other vertical axis methods, we gain an additional increment of peace, power, strength, compassion, love, understanding, humility, wisdom, and more. Now, to balance the horizontal and the vertical, the action and distraction versus sitting with the pain and going in. The balance. There's a tension between finding something positive like a person, activity, event, or thing on the horizontal axis and giving space and time for inner being work on the vertical axis. We need to swing in and out of both. Balanced healing occurs when we find the correct ratio of time on the horizontal and vertical axis. How do we know when to distract ourselves through action or sit with the pain? If we try to use the horizontal axis to solve problems that must be resolved internally, we become frustrated, angry, depressed, and anxious. Some people develop codependency, bad habits, and unhealthy attachments. Many become hyperactivity junkies, immersing themselves in activities from morning to night, trying to avoid the work that must be done inside. On the other end of the continuum, some people use vertical axis options like meditation and spiritual study as a way to escape painful issues needing work on the horizontal axis. Over time, we can learn through trial and error how to navigate our way through and balance horizontal action distraction and vertical axis options. The balance point varies according to our stage of life and responsibilities. If you are a parent with young children or in medical school, there will be very little time for meditation and contemplation. However, one can always practice mindfulness, breathwork, and affirmations. Choose the method that fits your need at the moment. Balance horizontal and vertical axis methods. Practice these methods until they become your new mental habits locked in brain grooves that will not quit. Doctors try to prescribe the right medication at the right dose at the right time. The 15 methods prescribed here are similar, but in this case, you are the doctor. You prescribe the method and the dose. Pay attention to the dose. When the dose is too low, we don't get the full effect. When we get too much, there are side effects. Through trial and error, we can discover the right method at the right dose at the right time. Exercise number 3, abyss pain versus time release pain. In exercise number 2 above, we discussed action distraction versus sitting with the pain. We want to be able to sit with our pain and learn from it. Sometimes we can do this, but sometimes life presents complex and overlapping problems that overwhelm our defenses and bring us to the abyss. Abyss pain is dark, scary, and overwhelming. We're afraid of being swallowed, breaking into 1,000 pieces, and being unable to put it together again. What is the best way to manage abyss pain or severe pain of any kind? When pain is very intense, we can balance methods in two categories. Methods that distract, soothe, and comfort, and methods that may cause the pain to get worse before it gets better. For the most part, soothing methods are people, activities, church, synagogue, mosque, AA meetings, other healing ceremonies, progressive muscle relaxation, breath work, contemplation, prayer, affirmations, mindfulness, practicing the presence of God, service, and yoga. Methods that may cause the pain to get worse before it gets better are meditation, habit transformation, and the transformation of emotion. The combination of techniques we need on any particular day may vary depending on how we feel. When we feel strong and ready to take on some pain, we might schedule an hour for transformation of emotion. If an overwhelming pain wave emerges while doing deep inner work, we can shift gears and turn to more soothing methods such as TV, popcorn, friends, a 12-step meeting, breathwork, and affirmations until we're ready to go back inside. Although some might profit from scheduling an hour, others may prefer a less formal approach. For example, we can practice transformation of emotion and meditation for as long as we wish, or until the pain is too intense, at which point we can shift to more soothing actions like being with friends or going to the gym. We can move from emotional processing to being with a friend for dinner, to emotional processing, to watching television and eating popcorn, to prayer and meditation, to physical exercise, to going to a meeting, and so forth. With this balanced approach, we can learn how to move into the pain that we do not know. We can learn how to release some of the pressure without breaking apart. We can learn how to ride increasingly bigger pain waves. And finally, we can learn how to control pain so pain does not control us. You will find more information on this topic in Chapter 51, Omniscient Love and Terror at the Abyss, on page 354. The next exercise, number 4, is entitled A Block of Marble and the Chisel of Wisdom, Chip, Chip, Chip. See the illustration on page 254. This illustration is entitled A Block of Marble and the Chisel of Wisdom. It shows a big block of undifferentiated marble and a chisel entitled M and Q, standing for method and quality, and a big mallet that's used to chisel the undifferentiated block of marble. And what's emerging out of the block of marble is the image of God or the Buddha, and it's entitled love. Following are the bullet points underneath this exercise called The Block of Marble and the Chisel of Wisdom. Pain has a purpose: the cultivation of healing qualities and higher states of consciousness. This is a lot of work. Change is slow, painful, and difficult. It may seem overwhelming. Try the following metaphor. We start with a big marble block and the chisel of wisdom. The marble block is the sum total of our being. We are a combination of problems and the image of God or Buddha. The chisel of wisdom is the methods M and qualities Q. Chip, chip, chip. Begin the process of carving out the image. The image is the Buddha equals the image of God equals 100 healing qualities and higher states of consciousness equals love. When we practice the methods, the qualities get bigger and our problems get smaller. Having 15 methods is an advantage. One day you might practice breathwork and affirmations. The next day, mindfulness, the presence of God, or prayer. Choose the method that works for you in the moment, and change methods according to your need and feeling. Work your way through the 15 methods in any combination and go around again. Throw the PMQ book at your problem and be patient. Give yourself time to heal. Be patient, disciplined, and persevere. Don't put a schedule on how long the pain will last. Hang in there. Work the condition however long or severe and wait for the qualities to appear. Don't identify with the pain or problem. Identify with the qualities. This is your true self. Practice peace no matter what. Practice positive thought no matter what. Practice the qualities no matter what. Forgive yourself no matter your mistakes or problems. Forgive others. Practice compassion for others. Practice compassion for yourself. Get some momentum and keep going. At some point, you will see the image of God or Buddha manifesting as ever-expanding love qualities and higher states of consciousness. Exercise number 5, David and Goliath. The phrase David and Goliath denotes an underdog situation, a contest where a smaller, weaker opponent faces a much bigger, stronger adversary. All of us have David and Goliath moments. Problems seem too big, overwhelming, frightening, even terrifying. Remember this. The universal healing wheel applies to any problem, tiny, small, medium, large, or huge. The rules are the same for big problems. It just takes longer. We can practice PMQ for the most severe, complex, long-term, deeply embedded problems. Chronic illness or disability, brutal reality, the cave of darkness, or the dark night of the soul. Big tests require more work, time, patience, and discipline. When we do the work, the reward is even greater. Healing qualities expand until they become unconditional. The soul merges with spirit. Big love takes over. We experience the peace that surpasses understanding. Pure love. Ecstatic joy. How grand. Exercise number 6. Go to your room. Sometimes we've had enough. We get frustrated, irritable, angry, depressed, or anxious. There's no room in the inn. All the rooms are filled. We have no space. What to do? The best thing to do at a time like this is go to your room and read The Guest House by Rumi in Healing Power Revised, page 345. Then practice transformation of emotion and meditation. These two powerful techniques clear the zone and create more space. See exercise number 3 in the chapter on transformation of emotion in this workbook, page 240 to 242. Exercise number 7, shifting the locus of control. Please review chapter 8, Shifting the Locus of Control, in Healing Power Revised, pages 115 to 123. Following are some additional points to remember. Through a series of painful lessons, life teaches us that the unlimited peace, love, and joy we seek in the outer world can and must ultimately be found within. This necessitates a shift in the locus of control from outside to inside. This model presents 15 methods, 3 on the horizontal axis and 12 on the vertical axis. How much work we do on each axis is personal and individualized. Most of us do most of our healing and pain management work on the horizontal axis of people, activities, and belief system. This is good. The horizontal axis does give a little of the peace, love, and joy we crave, but the unlimited peace, love, and joy of the core drive can only be found inside. For deeper healing, we need to do progressively more work on the vertical axis. Readiness is key. we are not ready for a deeper level of vertical axis work until we are ready for a deeper level. For example, no one is going to meditate in a consistent way until the timing is right. We must be motivated, comfortable, and ready for the next step in vertical axis work. This model attempts to speak to you at your current spot on that spectrum, recognizing your experience as universal. It hopes to receive you just where you are, at the brink between the outer world and the inner true self. It receives you at the doorway where the shift occurs and guides you to your inner being as the very thing you have been looking for the whole time. But you must be ready. And ready means saturated with the world to some degree. If not, you will go back again and again until you finally figure out what it will give you and what it won't give you. When you have finally had enough suffering, when you have a passionate desire to change, and when you are ready to do some work, you can upgrade your vertical axis practice, but you must be ready, world saturated and hungry. Otherwise, the world or Maya will have the predominance of your attention. Points to remember. We want big love, peace, joy, and safety. More time and no pain. This is the core drive. We try to achieve the core drive in the outer world of people, activities, events, and things. But this is impossible. On the physical plane, suffering is inevitable, time is limited, and death wins in the end. We can achieve little peace, love, joy, and safety in the outer world, but any attempt to get more on the physical plane leads to attachment, addiction, and reactivity. The saints bring us the good news. The big peace, love, joy, and safety we seek is inside, waiting patiently for our discovery as the true self, Buddha, or image of God. We can prove this to ourselves through direct personal experience when we practice vertical axis methods. You may not be able to control outer events, but you own the space within. It is your house. All the rooms belong to you. You can choose the furniture and the decorations. Why not fill your house with the attributes of love? Practice outer and inner methods in a healthy balance. You will see love fill the rooms of your house and surrounding space. Here's a quote from a member. "I don't do big pain alone. I thought I could do it myself. I can't. I do horizontal and vertical axis methods." Do the work on smaller problems now so when bigger ones come later, you'll be ready. As you build your external world of people, activities, events, and things, you can also build an inner world of peace, power, strength, courage, and wisdom. Balance healing with horizontal and vertical axis methods. Cultivate love, compassion, acceptance, humility, faith, understanding, and forgiveness in response to your problems. Do this for years and decades. Love grows and takes new shapes and forms. We learn how to serve in ever-increasingly useful ways. There is no limit to love's creative powers. The next section elaborates 10 healing qualities in detail. You will study love, peace, humility, faith, courage, forgiveness, truth, intuition, oneness, and healing.